to Overtime Hockey Talk, where we are going to redraft the 2006
draft
to 2009 NHL drafts. My name is Mark Paul, Justin Baker, my co-host, and let's just dive right into it. We've already redrafted 02 to 05 and had quite a few changes. You know, Sidney Crosby dropping from first to 10th.
Yeah.
Just a garbage player.
No. Stop.
There was some things right about what teams did, and there were some things that were wrong. So we'll just dive right into it. Stop looking at my list. I have this like 43-inch screen. Justin can see mine, and his is on a laptop or a tablet looking the other way, so I can't see anything.
Yep.
I need to find a way to hide this. Okay.
Screen blackener things.
Just real quick. This is not team by team. We didn't take the form of whatever team is actually picking first overall, second overall, what their needs were, nothing like that. This is just based on who are the best players in this draft, who are the most valuable players in this draft, and what players would have the greatest impact on their team over the course of their career.
Yep.
Who would we want on our team just in general?
Yeah,
over any other player in this draft.
Assuming that they stay healthy the entire time too. Now, guys that maybe, you know, got injured a little bit more, like, for instance, you know, later on the draft, one guy, Stamkos, right, will be up there. But we're not...
I take that into account, but it really doesn't make much of a difference.
I'll agree with you.
For a player if I was looking further down the line at lesser talent, injuries, an injury-prone player, if I have the ability to look at hindsight, I'm going to go, I wouldn't want that guy because he keeps getting hurt.
Okay.
Stamkos, though, he got hurt.
Those are flukes.
But they were pretty fluky.
Okay, fair enough. Well, let's jump in, shall we?
All right, well, let's just start it right off. 2006, you've got the first overall pick in the original draft. It went to Eric Johnson, or the Blues took Eric Johnson, defenseman. Ooh. The Penguins took Jordan Staal, Blackhawks with Taves, Capitals with Backstrom, and then the Boston Bruins with Phil Kessel. The worst top 10 pick in this, probably. This actually is a pretty good top 10.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Johnson at number one is probably the worst just because he's at number one and
I don't think relativity,
in,
I guess.
Shouldn't have been in the top 10, in my mind, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe like a guy like Peter Mueller who was okay when he was playing, but he didn't last very long.
James Shepard, perhaps?
James Shepard.
A fourth liner.
He went to Florida at some point.
I think he did.
Maple Leafs with Yuri Talusti. Could have gotten good old Patrick Berglund down at 25. Dick Axelson. Red Wings 62nd overall pick. Okay, so who did you take first overall?
Are we going to start first? Okay, good. I like that.
Yeah, first overall.
I love it. First overall, I'm taking Nicklas Bäckström.
I did the same.
Wow. Well, I don't blame you. I think just his offensive production has been very consistent. His two-way game is, again, very consistent. And, again, it doesn't hurt that you have a guy like Ovechkin to pass to most of your career, but still, I think on his own, even without Ovechkin, he's still stellar.
Right. And he has the most points out of anybody in this draft. He has the most assists by far out of anyone in this draft and is in the top five in goals as well. So he gets my nod. And the fact that he's a center tips the scales for him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Number two, I took Jonathan Taves.
As did I.
Okay, so
we did not cheat.
The center tipped it for me over Phil Kessel.
Yeah, I took Phil Kessel at number three as well.
Yeah,
And again, just for me, it wasn't so much that he was a center; it's just his two-way game was so instrumental in winning cups. I think taking that into account, I just figured, you know what, this guy has great leadership.
Right.
He's a great two-way guy, and he still puts up a decent amount of points. So can't complain.
Yeah, he's still a good player. Number four, who'd you take?
Claude Giroux.
As did I.
Wow.
So Claude Giroux, and then below Claude Giroux, I took Brad Marchand. And I went back and forth on this because right now, Brad Marchand is the better player.
Yes, I agree.
But it took him a lot longer to get to where he is now, and it didn't look like he was really going to pan out to be much more than a
second-line grinder.
40-point, 50-point in his best and be a kind of the douchebag on the team. Kirk Mulby. It was kind of the way that I saw him going. Where, you know, okay, Kirk Mulby was good for about 40 points in his prime. Great, like, good defensive guy. Great agitator. Drew a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
But he obviously has excelled and exceeded that those expectations.
Yeah, he's a goal scorer now, which is just weird to say for a guy that was biting fingers.
Biting fingers. Number six, who'd you take?
Varlamov.
Okay. So, yeah, I took Varlamov a little later. I took him at 10.
Fair enough.
This is how... Okay, so the previous redraft, I had goalies lower.
Yes, you did.
Than you. In almost every instance, I had goaltenders lower. I think I've rethought my the way that I was drafting these goalies,
mm-hmm.
For the sheer purpose of saying, like, I want to know if I'm going to take a goalie if I think he's going to have a bigger impact on my team than a particular skater. Yeah. The issue with goaltending is that who can you get to replace him and how much worse is he going to be?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you look at like a centerman, and it's going to be hard to find. It's even hard to find second line centers.
Yeah.
So is it easier to find a goalie who can slide in at average or just below average, or do I need to have a superstar goalie? You know, there's like Holtby comes out later in some of these drafts. So,
right.
So where do I want to pick him? Where does he slot? In terms of a replacement goaltender.
Right, or like that stat in baseball, war, wins above replacement.
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
like I won't disagree with you, those average goaltenders, easier to replace, easier to find. But when you get into those elite, maybe top-tier goaltenders like Varlamov is, in my opinion, a little harder to replace.
Varlamov has a crazy ceiling. He also has a nice deep basement.
I will not disagree with you
there. He's got a nice 10-foot basement. It's great when you're down there, but...
High ceilings. Great.
Yeah, high ceilings.
So who'd you take?
So I took Jordan Staal at number six.
Ooh, I took him at seven.
Who has been he's been very consistent his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
Really good second line center. And at times out mispositioned at first line center. Number seven, I took Lucic.
I took Lucic at number eight.
Okay. So we're just behind each other, right? You took Jordan Staal at seven.
Seven, yep.
Eight, I take Derek Brassard.
Okay. So, he made my list, but a little further down.
Yeah, Derek Brassard is, I think, underrated because of the places that he's played in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously very good. He was good in New York, got traded to Ottawa. And I think just in Ottawa, he kind of is, there's a lot of guys around him that we talk about more. We talk about Mark Stone, Mike Hoffman, Eric Carlson, Dion Phaneuf, Craig Anderson, and down the list comes Derek Brassard. And obviously when Kyle Turris was there before, now Matt Duchene. And so he's kind of hidden, but he never disappoints.
No, I won't disagree with you. And he's always been in systems too where like offense isn't the focus, where it's more or less play defense first.
Right.
So, and he's excelled at that. He's been pretty good.
Yeah. Who'd you take at number nine?
Brian Little.
Ah, so did I.
Nice.
This draft, we have some very similar opinions. Now, obviously at number 10, I take Semyon Varlamov.
Yes. Well, I took Eric Johnson.
Okay, and I have Eric Johnson at 11.
Wow,
so,
there you go.
We're pretty much right there with each other.
Okay, well, number 11 for me, Nick Foligno.
Nick Foligno. Nick Foligno was number 15 on my list, actually.
A little further down, okay.
Well, I like... Foligno has been a little bit inconsistent for me.
Okay.
And I think that as I look at this redraft,
mm-hmm.
I value speed a little bit more.
Okay.
Knowing where the game is going.
Right.
Now, obviously, this draft is 2006, so we've still got another 7 years or so of grinded out kind of mm-hmm. hockey. And so Nick Foligno, a great pick for maybe the first bit of his career.
Yep.
But I think that he's becoming less relevant because of it. And so that's why I have him a little further down. I actually have Eric Johnson at 11 and Okposo at 12.
As do I.
To kind of just go against what I just said and saying that I value speed.
Well, I mean, I guess if you're looking at guys like, oh, who would I rather have, this guy or this guy? Sure.
Right. Well, and that's why somebody like a Brian Little gets high up there is because mm-hmm. he's got good speed.
He
and Brian Little has always flown under the radar. I mean, he was on the Atlanta Thrashers.
Yeah.
I remember his like second or third year and everybody's like, watch out, Brian Little. He's one of the up and coming players. And maybe that was a stretch a little bit, but he's settled in to be a very nice top six forward
mm-hmm.
for the Winnipeg Jets. Number 13.
Patrick Berglund.
Okay, Patrick Berglund. I actually don't have Berglund
in
my draft. I like Berglund. I actually think he would have been like 16.
Okay, fair enough.
Patrick Berglund, I think he maybe benefits from the system that he's in St. Louis, and he... he gets sheltered minutes.
Well,
big time.
He's always been very consistent, and I love consistency. That's true. So
yes, I take Jeff Petrie at number 13.
Okay, he made my just miss
a good
list.
Good top four defenseman.
Yeah,
and more in his prime, he was, which there's an argument to be said that he's still right at the end of that. That he is a very good defenseman and very underrated.
He is. Yeah. So.
14, I'm taking a Michael Grabner.
Wow, okay. He was on my just missed as well. Guy has killer speed, so I do not hate what you're throwing out there.
And just, you know, he scores 30 goals and then 5 the next year and then 30 again. And so I'll take him in the years he scores 30, and I'll just send him down to the minors in the other year.
Okay, well, for 14 for me, Derek Brassard.
Okay, yep.
What about 15? Who do you got?
Nick Foligno.
Nick Foligno. Okay, I got Matthew Perreault.
Okay, yeah, Matthew Perreault, nice player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that I would much prefer a Jeff Petrie over a Matthew Perreault.
Okay.
A top four defenseman over a bottom six forward.
Yeah. All right, fair enough. And then I got a couple other goaltenders just missing the list too, with James Reimer and Jonathan Bernier.
Yeah, I didn't have them in my top 15, although I would take them in the first round.
Sure.
Knowing where they go, James Reimer's had a decent career. Mm-hmm. Bernier right now.
He's hot.
Shoot.
He's killing it in my fantasy. I picked him up on fantasy, and he's killing it right now. So.
Yeah, you needed a goalie. Okay, well, let's. There you go. Backstrom, Taves, Kessel, Giroux, Marchand, a unified top five.
I like
for
it.
Us.
I have the feeling though the rest of the drafts may not go as unified.
Yeah, they might not be. Let's go 2007.
Let's do it.
This is the year that, of course, Chicago Blackhawks get Patrick Kane, and then the Flyers take Van Riemsdyk. The Coyotes took Kyle Turris. The Kings, with a great top five pick of Thomas Hickey. And then the Washington Capitals, Carl Alzner. And the Oilers take Gagne. Blue Jackets take Voracek. And the Bruins take Zach Hamill. Florida Panthers, 10th pick, Keaton Ellerbe. Ooh.
That is rancid.
Yeah, there was three picks in the middle of this. Alexei Sharapanov, Logan McMillan, and Angelo Esposito, who is, I think, the nephew of Phil Esposito.
Yeah.
And none of them ended up playing a single game in the NHL, along with two others. So five of the 30 players taken didn't play a single game.
Wow.
And then there was one, two, three, four players that played under 100. So you're looking at a third of this draft that didn't even really make it to more than 67 games.
Yeah, that's rough first round for most teams.
Yeah, well, let's dive in. Who'd you take first overall?
Patty Kane.
No, yeah. Yeah, there's no way that you can take anybody. I mean,
no.
I guess there certainly is an argument to be made with who'd you take number two?
Jamie Benn.
Okay, you took Jamie Benn.
He did.
I'm going to take Ryan McDonagh, really? Who I think is top five defensemen in the NHL. And I think that Jamie Benn is, well, I have Jamie Benn at three.
Okay.
I'm going to say Ryan McDonagh. Jamie Benn is more of a product of a Tyler Seguin being there a little bit.
I mean, it never hurts to have a good center.
The one year he won the Art Ross, he won it with like the least amount of points
like
since
84.
Since the, what was it, like the 70s, sometime in the 70s?
Yeah. It was wild.
So it was a weird year for scorers. I think that if he hadn't won that trophy and he still had the same amount of points, mm-hmm. but you had other guys sprinkled in a little higher, I don't think he'd get the same kind of love.
Interesting.
I would love to have him on my team.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd rather have Ryan McDonagh, who can play 28 minutes a night, shut down anyone who's on the ice. Mm-hmm. Aside from Erik Karlsson, I don't think there's a defenseman in the Eastern Conference I'd rather have than McDonagh.
Interesting.
I think you could throw Doughty
Victor
on
Hedman, maybe?
Doughty on that list. I think I'd rather have that'd be close.
Yeah,
that'd be close.
I think I'd rather take Victor Hedman in my opinion.
Hedman or McDonagh? I think that McDonagh
If I'm being honest, I think Victor Hedman's probably the best defenseman in the NHL.
Maybe right the second with Karlsson the way that he is. But Karlsson is...
Well, when Karlsson's 100% and playing the way Karlsson plays, yes.
But yeah, anyway, I do think you can throw him in a list with Doughty, Hedman, Karlsson, and Jamie Benn just is... He's in the next level of forwards. Okay. I don't think he's not in the same conversation as McDavid, Crosby, Matthews, Malkin. No. Yeah.
But I won't disagree with you on McDonough. I do think maybe not top five for me, but he's right there, six or seven.
It's just because he doesn't get the points.
No, not necessarily because he doesn't
get the points. He's never been up for the Norris because he doesn't get the points.
No, he's a 30-40 point player, and that's fine. But like his defensive game is phenomenal, and that's why, for me, he's my number three pick in this draft.
There you go. So well, he better be.
Wow. I'm gonna. So, okay. So who did you... Did we already talk about your number three pick?
My number three pick's Jamie Benn.
That's right. Yep. Okay, so number four.
Number four, I'm taking Jakub Voracek.
Well, I have PK Subban.
Okay, all right. Four.
And I have Jake Voracek at five.
Okay, so we have them flipped. Talk about why you take Subban over Voracek.
Mostly because I love watching him play. He's exciting. He moves the puck. It's... Don't get me wrong, I think Voracek's been great, but he's a little too inconsistent for me. Yeah, and PK is just he always gives you an exciting game to watch. He consistently drives play, and I think I don't really know his possession numbers off the top of my head, but they have to be pretty decent, I would imagine.
PK? Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, he has good possession numbers, certainly. Yeah. I think when it comes to Voracek, it's not hard to argue PK Subban over Voracek.
Yeah.
I think that you're the thing with PK Subban is just that it just depends on what you want for your team.
Sure.
Voracek from a winger position, he does drive a lot of his line.
Yeah.
He's had the pleasure of playing with Giroux, which is great. He's a great power play guy, but he's good at even strength too. So I'm taking Voracek over Subban, but
okay,
it doesn't really matter.
It's a coin flip, sure. I get it.
Number six, who are you grabbing?
Wayne Simmonds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We are we disagree a little bit about Wayne Simmonds. I have Wayne Simmonds at nine.
I have a secret love affair with Wayne Simmonds.
Okay.
I wish his offensive production was a little bit better, but the guy is ideally in the new NHL. He is your prototypical power forward.
Sure.
And he does it well.
Absolutely. I am going to take Logan Couture over Wayne Simmonds.
Nice.
At number six. I think a guy who's one of the better second line centers in the league,
mm-hmm.
and is still a serviceable first line center.
Sure.
The fact that he's a centerman sells it for me over Simmonds. I think Simmonds did play a little center at one point, but
yeah, I think in his pre-NHL days.
Yeah. So I take Couture at six and Pacioretty at seven.
As do I.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. There's something to be said for a guy who consistently puts up 30 goals. You can't hate on that.
No.
To me.
No. Yep. Pacioretty is an easy spot there. And number eight.
I have Logan Couture.
Okay. You have Logan Couture. I have Kyle Turris.
Okay.
And Kyle Turris has just been very consistent, and he's actually gotten better and better and better and better and better, which is we're talking 11 years later, I still think he's maybe just stopped getting better.
Yeah, and he's in an ideal situation to Nashville where he doesn't have to play against the top lines anymore.
Right.
And not only that, but it's ideal for Nashville because if, you know, Ryan Johansson slumps a little bit or gets hurt, you can move Kyle Turris up there no problem.
Yep. So. Let's go number 10.
Number 9. Don't skip.
Your number 9. Well, my number 9 is Wayne Simmonds.
Is it? Okay, mine's JVR.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love JVR.
JVR is my number 11, which I really like JVR.
Mm-hmm.
He maybe has one of the most unique skill sets in the league in that there's no one else who tips the puck and plays the way he does in front of the net. Maybe
he is very good.
Modern day Dino Cicerelli in a way.
Yeah.
Thomas
Holmstrom, if
you
will.
There's very few guys that do what he does in that tight space around the net where that's just how he scores.
Mm-hmm.
But 5-on-5, not great. He at times he can struggle defensively, and that's why I'm going to take a guy like Jake Muzzin over James Van Riemsdyk.
He was a couple spots down.
I think Jake
list.
Muzzin can solidify a top four, and whereas Van Riemsdyk, if he's in your top six and you don't have a lot of protection, your top six might not be that good.
Okay. Yeah, for me, Jake Muzzin fell a few spots only because it took him a little bit longer to get his game going where it needs to be.
Yeah, then he won a Stanley Cup.
than he did. That's very true. So number 10, I have good old Kevin Shattenkirk.
Okay. All right. Well, I took Shattenkirk at 12.
Okay.
So what I do love that he is an offensively gifted defenseman.
Right-handed.
I look at what happened in St. Louis
mm-hmm.
when he's there and they trade him to Washington. St. Louis doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah, that's very true.
Colorado or Washington gets him, and he plays well for them. But I think that he leaves and they don't miss a beat.
I don't know if it's so much because, you know, maybe a sign of his play in St. Louis, but I think it's the system they have and Colton Parenko has gotten that much better, in my
but
opinion.
The system that they had, but then he goes to Washington where it should have been a Shattenkirk field day.
It should have. Absolutely. I'll give you that. Yeah, and yeah, it might pan out for him in New York. We'll see.
He's
how
a good
goes.
Forward. Yeah. 13.
You skipped 11.
Yes, yeah, sorry. I have Muzzin at 10, Van Riemsdyk at 11, Shattenkirk 12. Why don't you go?
Okay. I've got Kyle Turris at 11. Okay. And at 12, I have David Perron.
Oh, okay.
David. Who is currently on a tear in Vegas.
Yes, yes, he is. So. Which it almost seemed like his career, like he was on the downturn.
Yeah.
Because remember, he was traded from the Blues to the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
And then didn't he play somewhere else in between there?
No, I don't think so.
Did he go right from the Penguins to the Knights?
No, you're right about that.
No, he went somewhere.
Yeah,
not totally sure
I'm embarrassed that. I can't remember.
Tell me who you have at 12.
12 was David Biron. 13, I have Jacob Muzzin. Again, like you said.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Anaheim. He also played in Edmonton. Forgot about that.
And then went back to St. Louis. That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I knew he went back to St. Louis, but okay, yeah. So I got Jake Muzzin at 13, and then at 14, I have Carl Alsner.
Okay, so 13, I have Carl Alsner. Nice. 14, I have Perron, and then 15, I've got Sam Gagner.
Gagner, ooh, just missed my list, but I have Alexander Killorn.
Okay.
So
see, 15. Gagner I think just been underappreciated wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
He also has the most points in one game since I think, was it Wayne Gretzky?
Was it 6, I think?
He had 8 points.
Was it 8? Oh, that's right, in Columbus.
He had like 5 goals and 3 assists.
Yeah.
No, it was in Edmonton.
What? Oh, no, you are. Yeah, yeah. You're right.
I watched it, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
That was the luckiest night of his life.
Really, yeah. Yeah, and then missing list along with Gagner, I got Brandon Suter, Ian Cole, Brendan Smith, Evgeny Dandanov, and Scott Darling. So
yeah, there's some decent players.
Yeah.
Yeah, goaltenders couldn't put any in my top 15, though.
Yeah, that was tough for this draft. There was really no good goaltending.
Let's skip a year, and we'll go to 2008.
Skip a year. We're not skipping anything.
You know, like we're gonna go for a whole year.
This one is probably going to have some drastic changes to it.
This will be fun.
So, number one, I'll let you kick us off.
Okay, well, let's just take a look actually happened in the real draft.
Yeah, we all know Steven Stamkos went number one.
Steven Stamkos goes number one. And then Doughty number 2, Bogosian number 3 to the Thrashers, Petrangelo 4 to the Blues, and probably the biggest flop of the the Leafs take Luke Shen. I lied. The biggest flop of the top 10 is Nikita Filatov for the Blue Jackets, who played 53 games and had 14 points.
Yeah.
Colin Wilson by the Preds, Michael Bodker to the Coyotes, Josh Bailey to the Islanders, and then Cody Hodgson. Rounds out the
He's
top
He's a little
10.
Bit of a disappointment.
Chicago goodness. At number 11, Kyle Beach doesn't play a single NHL game.
Yeah.
Sad.
I think it was maybe last year they were thinking about calling him up or something like that. I think he was still floating around in the minors, but
interesting. Yeah. Kyle Beach. I remember him. Well, let's go number one overall pick.
Yeah.
It's going to Justin Baker. Who's he taking?
We're taking the same guy. There's nobody.
So we're taking Erik Karlsson.
Oh, absolutely.
One. Okay. And then... Number two, I'm taking Drew Doughty.
Are you? I'm shocked by that.
Drew Doughty to me is more valuable than Steve Stamkos.
Okay.
A top 5 defenseman or a top 10 centerman. Who are you taking? I'm taking the defenseman because he gets to play an extra 6 or 7 minutes a night, and that's a big deal.
I'll give you that, but when you got a guy who can potentially put up 50 goals, it's hard to pass for me.
Sure. I mean, his 50-goal seasons did come playing alongside of a Hall of Famer. But
sure. Yeah. And there's...
Has there been a guy more fortunate than Stamkos who gets to play alongside St. Louis, and then St. Louis retires, and, oh, Nikita Kucherov just randomly becomes the top, like a top three player in the NHL, and away he goes, gets to play with another potential very, 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 very good player, if not a Hall of Famer someday, if he keeps this up.
Yeah.
Okay, so you take Stamkos then at two, I take it.
I did, yes.
Okay.
And then I took Doughty at three.
Sure, sure. So pretty similar top three. And number four, I'm actually leaving Alex Pietrangelo going to the Blues.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I love Alex Pietrangelo. I think he's
we know this. If you listen to the show, you know
The Pie Pietrangelos.
Yes.
he's not a guy who puts up a ton of points,
mm-hmm.
but he is a rock.
Okay. I had him down at number six. For me, number four, I have Braden Holtby.
Okay, I figured you would.
Yes. There's just something to be said about a top three goaltender who can win you a lot of games.
Now, okay, here's a question. Because we do have actually the Blues goaltender, Jake Allen, mm-hmm. goes later in this draft.
Yes.
So the question is, would you rather have Alex Pietrangelo and Jake Allen
mm-hmm.
or Braden Holtby?
Well, no, you can't
outright.
Do two guys just
sure, I
over
can.
One.
I can do whatever I want.
No, I'm not answering that. Move on.
So you're saying that you would rather have Pietrangelo and Jake Allen?
Absolutely.
So there's
if you're getting two quality guys.
Okay. So now this is where my it's hard for me to draft goalies this high. Although I have Braden Holtby at five, but when it comes to Pietrangelo, he gets to play a ton,
mm-hmm. right?
And you can bring in a guy. Jake Allen is maybe in the top 15 goaltenders in the league.
Yeah, he is. Absolutely.
So there's a lot of guys like him. And so it's not that hard or that crazy to say, and we could get a guy pretty close.
To Jake Allen, yes.
And with Pietrangelo in there, that knocks us up. Would the Washington Capitals rather have Pietrangelo and Allen or Holtby?
Yeah, but yeah. If you're...
That's what I'm...
Okay, well...
That's my logic right there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I have Holtby at five. Okay. Who do you have at five?
Five, I've got Roman Josi.
Okay, so you'd rather have Josi over Pietrangelo.
Yeah, and to me, it's a coin flip. It literally is. I value these guys very equally, but just for me, I just had to choose
I think Josi. Roman Josi's gotten to play with Shea Weber and PK Subban. I think that helps him.
Well, it doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt at all. Then number six, I have Pietrangelo.
Okay, so. And number six, I have Josi. So
okay.
That's fair. Seven? Number seven, who do you have?
John Carlson.
So do I.
All right,
there we go.
Very nice.
A nice puck moving number one B kind of guy.
Yeah,
like he's not a top defenseman in the league, but he's a very good defenseman.
Yes, and bigger question is what are the Capitals going to do with him? Because he's
unrestricted, isn't he?
Yeah. Are they going to let him go?
They can't afford to lose another defenseman.
No.
You look at the list of defensemen that they've let go,
mm-hmm.
that they actually drafted and developed. I mean, they lost Nick Schultz to that expansion draft.
Yep.
Carl Alsner to free agency with Montreal. They've lost Matt Niskanen Matt Niskanen, who they developed,
yeah.
who goes to Pittsburgh in free agency. To lose a John Carlson.
Yeah.
They got to hang on to one defenseman somewhere, right? Number eight, I'm going to take Jordan Eberle.
Ooh, okay. I got Jake Allen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jake Allen is 13 for me.
Okay.
In this draft. I think he's...
Fair enough.
I would rather have Jordan Eberle's goal-scoring ability and try and find a goalie later on.
Number nine.
Number nine, I'm taking Derek Stepan.
Ooh, I've got Cam Atkinson.
Okay. Cam Atkinson next at 10.
Because we're talking goal-scoring here. And then, 10 for me, Jordan Eberle.
Okay. Yeah,
I like him.
Yeah, Jordan Eberle, to me, he's out of this list of people, you know, where we're talking Eberle, Stepan, Atkinson, and Allen, those mm-hmm. four guys. I'm taking Eberle over all of them because he had the fastest development.
He did.
Very quickly, he was very good.
But is that a case of he got thrown into a situation because he...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that he was magic right from the start. He's a part of that Team Canada that came back in the mm-hmm. U.S. and scored in like the last second to tie and then won in overtime or
yep.
whatever that happened in the World Juniors.
Yep.
I think that was 2007, right? So, or 2008.
Something like that.
So, anyways, he's at eight. Stepan, nine. Atkinson is at 10 for
okay.
me.
Good.
And at 11, I'm taking my homeboy, Jake Gardner.
Are you? Okay. He is down at 13 for me, but at 11, I have another defenseman, TJ Brody.
Okay. See, I have Brody at 16. He just misses my list.
Okay.
Yeah. TJ Brody, I think, is a product of playing with Dougie Hamilton or Mark Giordano. When he's been apart from either of those two guys, he can't hang. He can't hang at all. Huh. I think that he goes from looking like he's a top pairing defenseman to barely being a bottom pairing defenseman.
Wow, that's harsh.
I don't think that he obviously he has talent because if you can play with there's certain guys where you can slot him with really good players, and yes, they are much better because of those players, but some guys can't hang with really talented guys. And it's why Chris Kunitz would have been a drop in the bucket had he not played with Sidney Crosby, right? Whereas he played with Sidney Crosby for so many years, he wins those cups. He's the only guy who could ever play with Crosby during those early years. So I think that gave him a boost. And he played on Team Canada because of Sidney Crosby. At number 12, I'll read you my 12 through 15. I've got Josh Bailey, Jake Allen, Gustav Nyquist, Tyler Myers, and then my 16 is TJ Brody.
Wow, okay. Well, 12 for me, Adam Henrique, 13, Josh Garnier, 14, Josh Bailey, 15, Goose Nyquist. And then missing the list, I've got Derek Stepan.
Really? Derek Stepan's missing your list. And I have him at 9. That's
he just missed the list for me.
That's interesting. Let me pull up some Derek Stepan. Now he's the fifth most points at any player in this draft. And when we go and we take a look at his where his possession numbers go. His possession numbers have been fine. He's right around the 50% mark for offensive faceoffs. I just think I'm looking at the players ahead of him. This isn't a terribly deep draft.
No.
Especially compared to the last one, I think there was some better players late. Derek Stepan being a center, I think, really kind of pumps it over the edge for me.
Okay. Well, that's fair to say.
It's clear, though, I mean, going to Arizona, that he's not a number one center, which I don't think.
No, he's a good number two.
But, I mean, you look at his career, 45, 51, 44 points, which was in the 48 games. Mm-hmm. That was his best
one
year.
Breakout year.
And then he had 57, 55, 53, 55, and he'll probably end up with over 50 points again this year. So, I mean, he is just a solid 50-point, beautiful second-line center, and I will take that over a guy like Cam Atkinson, who I know he scored 30 goals, right?
Oh, he scored 30 goals multiple times.
A few times, yeah. And that's fantastic. I'm looking at him this year now, and I'm going, okay, he had early in his career, he was a 20-year-old scorer. He said scored 35 goals last year. That was it. He scored 21, 22, 27, 35. And this year, he's really struggling to score goals at 6 goals. So yeah,
he is struggling this year.
That's where I'm looking at the overall. And I mean, at this point, this is the 2008 9 draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so, or 2008 yep. draft. So these players should still be good players.
Yes.
I mean, they're not falling. Like 2006, you can understand why some of these guys have kind of fallen off the map. But at 2008, you should still be right there if you're going to be in the top 10. And so to me, he maybe is taking a little dip back, and maybe last year was his peak. But anyways, that's why I did that.
All right.
Okay, well, 2009?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Well, 2009 is the John Tavares draft.
It is.
John Tavares taking number 1. Your boy Victor Hedman at number 2. Avs take Matt Duchene at number 3. Evander Kane to the Thrashers at 4. Braden Schenn to the Kings at 5. OEL to the Coyotes at 6. The Leafs take Nazem Kadri. Dallas Stars take good old Scott Glennie, who played one NHL game. Had to get him in there for one. I don't know what he did to get into that game. Jared Cowan to the Senators. And the Oilers take Magnus Pajärvi, who's now in the Blues.
Yeah.
And not playing.
Nope.
Okay. Let's this draft is, I mean, there is three defensemen in the top 10 and 5 defensemen in the top 12. So I think that there was certainly a run on defensemen, but maybe there shouldn't have been. There was a few, but
wow.
Okay, anyways, let's start it off. Number 1, who are you taking?
Same guy. Tavares.
Tavares, okay. Yeah. The more that I've thought about this, the more that I am actually going to change my pick. And I had Tavares, but I'm going to take Victor Hedman.
Okay.
And this has nothing to do with what you said about him being the best defenseman in the league. But he is certainly in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
And Tavares, is Tavares in the conversation with McDavid, Crosby, even as Stamkos? I think that I want him to be there, but he hasn't been there.
He's right below, I think. Okay, so obviously you have McDavid, Crosby. Those two guys are just in another world, in my opinion.
Sure.
And then right below him, you have guys like Malkin, Backstrom, Tavares, Stamkos in that mix.
Matthews,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. I will throw him in there, yeah, too.
Would you rather have Matthews or Tavares over the course of their whole career?
I don't know.
I'm taking Matthews.
Well, I've only seen 2 years out of Matthews.
Yes, I know, so. But Tavares, okay, look. Yes, well, Tavares has played with some decent players over the course of his career. It hasn't been a huge, like, oh, he's never had a good winger. He's had some
great wingers, though.
Like, Kyle Okposo, when he was playing with him, I think he scored 30 goals.
He did.
A couple times, right?
And look what happened when he went to a place where now he's playing with Ryan O'Reilly and Jack Eichel, and somehow Okposo can't do it. So maybe
Okposo, though... Is that kind of player who you're like, you probably had 6 or 7 years in you and then you were done because of the way you
played. No, of course. He's that power forward guy. But
no, okay. If you want to take Tavares number one, I'm not going to fault you.
No, and Hedman's number two for me easily.
Ultimately, I think you would go, if you look at it, you'd go, who do we have right now? You know, if this was the Penguins, you're going to take Hedman.
Sure.
If this is a team that has Drew Doughty and Eric Carlson, you're probably going to take John Tavares. So it just depends on who you're going to take.
Yes.
I'm going to take Victor Hedman just because he gets to play a lot more.
Okay. So then you have Tavares at number two.
Yes. And then number three, Oliver Ekman-Larsson is my boy.
Yep.
Okay. And then this is where this gets interesting. I think that this could, you could really move some guys from really three, maybe down to seven, or four to seven. Who, name off your four, five, six.
Okay. Four, I got Ryan O'Reilly. Five, Matt Duchene, and six, Braden Schenn.
Oh, Braden Schenn. Braden Schenn is actually at 10 for me.
Wow, okay.
I think that this year has certainly made him look like he's unreal.
Yes.
Before this year, I don't think you'd have him that high.
No, I don't think so either.
So my hesitation is that if he keeps doing this, he could definitely go higher on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to take a 50-game sample size and put that into the course of all these guys' careers, because they all these guys have been in the league for 9 years, some of them. So.
Sure. Well, for me, Braden Schenn, it's thinking of the fact that, hey, maybe was he underutilized in Philadelphia? Was he not used properly? You know, sitting too low on the depth chart because of guys like Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier and, you know, Wayne Simmonds above him. You know, now he gets the opportunity to go in there and show that he's actually more than capable of doing that, and guess what happens? He explodes, so...
Very true.
So anyways, what about your 4, 5, and 6?
Okay, my 4, 5, 6, Ryan O'Reilly, Matt Duchene, and Matthias Ekholm.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Matthias Ekholm, I do like that pick.
Yeah.
I do. He's a couple spots down on my list, but he is certainly worthy, and I will not argue it at all, because some people have, I've heard the argument, not that I agree with it, but some people have even argued that Matthias Ekholm might be better than Roman Josi.
I've heard that. I think that it's people manipulating the numbers.
Sure. Yeah. And I agree with you on that.
Okay, so 7, I have Mike Hoffman.
Ooh, okay.
Mike Hoffman is, I think, very underrated for the Senators there, and kind of got a little bit later of a start because the Senators were just strange. The Senators were weird with Mark Stone and Mike Hoffman. They held them back, I think, longer than they should have. Number 8, Nazem Kadri, and 9, Evander Kane.
Wow, okay. Fair enough. For me, number 7, I've got Nick Leddy.
Really?
I really love his
game.
This year, it's been a little bit down, but he's a guy, again, who's been playing 25 minutes since he went to the aisle and has looked pretty dang good. Number 8, Ryan Ellis. And number 9, Matthias Ekholm.
Oh, wow. We have very different lists for this year.
Yes.
I don't even have Nick Leddy on my top 15.
Wow.
Nazem Kadri gets the bump over Evander Kane because he plays center, and he's not a douchebag, or at least not as big a one as Evander Kane. Evander Kane just scores goals, though. So I think if Evander Kane had been in better situations, I think that this year would be more like the other years that he's had. You know, he'd be right up there looking like he could score 30 goals every year, whereas some years, so he was weird. You know, some years, Evander Kane would have like 18 goals, which is like, what? In 2015, he had 20 goals,
mm-hmm.
35 points. He just, yeah, I think that in the right situation, he could have been he can be a better player.
Sure.
I think that he just is, I mean, he went from a bad Jets team to a worse Sabres team.
I know. Oh.
So.
All right.
Yeah. Who do you want to take at
10 for me?
10, 11, 12.
I've got Kadri at number 10. At 11, I have Sammy Vatanen. And at number 12, I have Jakob Silfverberg.
Sammy Vatanen, another player who did not make my list.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a soft spot for defensemen. I think when you can find a top four defenseman, they're a little harder to find in the draft than maybe a second, third line winger. Yeah. But again, you know.
I'm going Braden Schenn.
Okay.
At 10. And then Chris Kreider at 11. And Ryan Ellis at 12.
Ryan Ellis at 12. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Well,
I just don't think we've seen enough out of Ryan Ellis to justify taking him higher.
All right. Well, to each their own. 13 for me, Mike Hoffman. 14, Tomas Tatar. And at 15, I have Evander Kane because the douchebagginess kind of put him down on the list.
Yeah. I have Jakob Silfverberg. At 13, which I'm surprised he's not on your list. I guess you value.
He did it. He was at 12.
Oh, he was at 12. Yeah. Okay. Anders Lee is at 14.
Okay. I like that. He made my just missed list.
Okay. So. And Anders Lee, he's there because, like Wayne Simmons, I think that he's right in the ilk of Wayne Simmons. I think we talked about this the last show, that he is very similar to Wayne Simmons. Mm-hmm. And so
he fits John Tavares very well.
Very well. And I think that he would fit a lot of top centers very well.
Absolutely.
15, I have Riley Smith, who has the best plus minus in this draft. Random little stat.
That is very
meaningless,
random,
but random. Hey. Random, especially because he played in the Panthers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Good job. That was four.
Thank you.
4 years that we just did
in
just a few minutes.
Hey.
4 years and 42 minutes.
Not
10
bad.
Minutes a year.
Not bad.
All right. Well, this has been Overtime Hockey Talk. We
check us out. Yeah. Social media stuff.
At OT Hockey Talk, just everywhere.
He knows
just it. Type it all over the place. OT
you know
Hockey
it.
Talk. Write it on the bathroom stall.
Maybe get a tattoo.
Get it. Yeah, that'd be great. Get a tattoo, and I'll
tell you what. If you get a tattoo of OT Hockey Talk, you can come on the show.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You could come on the show, even
multiple
if you're
times.
Just considering doing it.
Even if you're considering,
we'd love to be there with you along for the ride.
Yes.
Like I want to sit in the chair next to you and watch it happen because I can't believe it. All right. Well, that's our show. We hope you have a great week. And I'm sure I'm enjoying Europe right now.
I bet you are.
I hope so.
I'm sure I hate you right
Hopefully
now, too.
Hopefully I'm not locked up abroad or something. If I am, then this is going to be real ironic. Okay. Have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you soon.